Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
We are not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Yep.
Yep, it's true.
How's it going, Kate?
Dori, it's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. You and I traveled together this past weekend.
We did. We spent a lot of time together. We really did. Took our relationship to the next level.
We did. It was like when a couple goes away for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we survived.
We did. I thought we did well.
I mean, it was very intimate. Well, let's tell people where we were.
Sure.
The Wing had a camp.
Which is, well, we should explain what the
what
Wing is.
What is the Wing, Dori?
The Wing is a co-working space and I guess club organization for women. They have 3 branches in New York. They have 1 in DC. They're about to open 1 in San Francisco. LA is coming. They do a lot of amazing programming, and I would say we support their mission.
Yeah, it was really cool. They had their first ever camp, No Man's Land, where they actually invited members to go away to camp for the weekend.
Yeah, they rented out a whole summer camp in upstate New York.
And Dori and I were in a bunk together.
We were in a bunk together, and they invited us to do a live Forever 35 podcast, which was our first time doing something like that.
And it was nerve-wracking.
It was nerve-wracking, especially because not everyone there knew what the podcast was.
Yeah, we were like, we're two friends like to talk about serums. And they were like, who? What? What are you doing?
There
here?
Were people
no,
there.
No, not joking.
Who
people
knew,
were very kind.
Yes, and they were very kind.
And I would say, like, it was quite an experience being surrounded by so many cool, welcoming, impressive people.
Yeah.
It was we met so many amazing
people. It was very inspiring.
People. Yeah, really. It was really, really cool. But yes, we did shower together in a shower, bunk. What would you call
it? A shower
that?
House.
A shower house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like the shower house at my old summer camp, which I've described before.
It's just like a free-for-all.
Just a free-for-all. No stalls or curtains. This one had stalls and curtains.
This one had curtains.
We did share a bed in a hotel on Thursday night.
Oh, that's right.
Thursday
we
night.
Did share a bed. We really broke a lot of boundaries.
We did.
We and shared a bed.
Yeah.
Oh,
shared
fun.
A bunk.
That bathroom.
Oh my God. So we stayed in a hotel the night before we left for the camp because the bus was leaving like early in the morning. And I had booked us in this like really nice new hotel that is like quote unquote cool. And I guess cool hotels now have like open bathrooms essentially. So the glass, the bathroom area was like open to the rest of the room. And there was frosted glass in the toilet, but in the shower, it was
It was open.
It was just open.
And like, you could hear every tinkle of pee that came out
sure
of our
could.
Bodies. It was really, again, just breaking all the boundaries of intimacy. And my favorite part of that hotel room is that like, instead of a table, there was just like a grassy mound of moss where you just like put a hair dryer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really an experience.
It was.
But we had fun.
We did have fun.
So thank you so much.
Thank you to the Wing.
The Wing for having us. It was really, really cool. I will say one thing I wrote down was that I was really struggling with my social anxiety the whole weekend.
You know what I thought you did? And I don't know if this was deliberate.
Oh, boy.
No, I thought it was, I was like, oh, this is such a smart coping mechanism. I thought it was so great that you were so open about it. Like so many people we met, you were like, I have social anxiety.
I think it is a coping mechanism.
And so many other people were like, oh my God, me too.
I was like, I sat down with a group and I was like, I'm so nervous. And someone was like, why? Everybody here is so nice. And you're like, I was like, you're right. People were so welcoming. Like you, I was in line for coffee and someone was just like, hi,
yeah,
getting coffee. And then we like sat together at breakfast. Like people were so, so kind and, I mean, welcoming is the word totally. I keep coming back to, which I'm so grateful for because I was really struggling and there was like a lot of moments where like I went to dinner by myself and you were really the only person I fully knew, at this event. And you know, that was terrifying. It felt like the first day of school mm-hmm. in so many ways. And but without like the clicks and the meanness. So people were really, really welcoming. And it was a really good practice for me just to be like, hello, can I sit with you?
And every time people were like, yes.
Every time people were like, oh my gosh, yes. And then they're like, let me tell you about this amazing thing that I do.
Yeah. Everyone was like, I started a company. I like
truly. I mean, I met somebody who works in AI. I met people who, so many entrepreneurs.
It was very cool.
Oh,
I'm very glad we did it.
I'm glad we did it too. And it was a really good practice. But there were times where I was like, I'm overstimulated. I need to have some quiet. And it was a nice space where they were like open to all types. Like if you were introverted, they had a thing for introverts.
Right. Well, so I also did a one-on-one interview with someone before our thing. So on Saturday, when both of our talks, when my first talk was, and then we did our workshop later, I felt like I'd just been on all day.
Yeah, that's hard.
And after our thing, Kate, I don't know if you remember this, I was like, I just have to go to the craft area.
I actually was looking at that text. You were like, I just need some space. I'm going to arts and crafts.
Yeah. And I just sat and needle pointed for like 45 minutes.
That's the other thing
and
that was really
helped.
Cool.
It cleared my head.
Yeah. We, on the last day we did arts and crafts and I made these pom-poms for my children and just spending, we've talked about crafts as self-care on this podcast before, but just spending some time just like using my hands mm-hmm. to do something very basic was so satisfying.
And having like a finished product at the end of it.
Yes. And when you finished your needlepoint, everybody cheered for you. Do you remember?
My God, yes.
It was really sweet. Everyone
yeah,
was so supportive.
I started it on Saturday and then I went back to crafts on Sunday morning before we left. And I was making this little patch that was just like a conversation bubble with a heart in it. And I finished and everyone was like, great job.
It was truly such a supportive environment.
And I was like, oh, thank you. So that was really nice. And yeah, I thought we did a good sort of mix of activities. Like on Saturday night, there was a prom, but there was also a bonfire and s'mores.
That was very fun.
And we spent a lot of time at the bonfire and s'mores, but then we also went to the prom.
We did. And there was...
And I was wearing leggings and a sweatshirt.
Yep. And I was in a coat.
Mm-hmm.
And people were decked out.
People were decked.
Getting turned. It was super fun. But there was also, I should say, like during the time of the prom, there was also like a mindfulness meditation.
A sleep meditation.
Yeah. So it was a really nice mix of like, of activities for all types of humans for whatever you're in the
mood
for.
It gave me some ideas for our eventual Forever 35 retreat.
I can't wait to go on that.
I'm trying to like put that out into the universe and manifest it.
Yeah. I'm going to just have to walk around with a sign that says I'm a socially anxious person. Welcome to our retreat.
But if it was our retreat, everyone would already know that. So you wouldn't even have to say it.
That's true. I feel like whoever is there would be very kind about it. Well, thank you everybody who's coming on that retreat that isn't real yet.
Yep.
Dory, do you have anything you want to share?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to check my phone. Nope. Don't have any news. As of right now, I'm pregnant.
Ay, 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 ay. Dory.
I mean, I feel like I just need to have a qualifier.
That's 100% fair.
Because it's very early. And when you do IVF, it's even earlier. But because I do a podcast about doing IVF, we had to announce it, of course. And so I was like telling other people. And everyone's been like, how far along are you? And it's like,
including me.
Barely. Like if this were a quote, spontaneous pregnancy, I would only like now sort of be like, oh, I think my period's a little late. But I knew a week ago.
Right.
So it's weird. And I'm certainly not past the point where most people start telling people. But as Angela Garbus was saying, you know, in the interview that Kate did with her last week, or 2 weeks ago, you know, it's just like, we should be more open about these things earlier. And then if pregnancy loss does occur, then we can be, we can have support for it.
Yeah.
Not be secretive about it.
No, you have a community that's here for you. Yeah. No matter how this goes.
I'm hopeful that it will not go that way.
Yes.
But because we've had so many other things go wrong, it's hard for me to be like, yeah, I'm pregnant. Okay, bye.
Well, and as your husband and podcast partner, Matt, did say, like, you're not out of the, you're still
no,
in the woods. That was the way he was phrasing it on your, on Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
Your podcast about your IVF experience.
Yeah. Which someone suggested should now be called Matt and Dory's Pregcellent Adventure.
Oh, hey, what a witty person that is. That's really funny.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Are you letting yourself feel excited? Because you had talked a lot. I mean, I even think your intention was to just like,
just be okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of allowing myself to think like, today I am pregnant.
In this moment,
I am pregnant and I'm not eating sushi.
You did come here and ask for snacks.
I did. I was ravenous.
Which I didn't. I don't want to do the thing where it's like, oh, she's pregnant. She's pregnant. Like every personality attribute you have, it gets very annoying because people just be like, oh, you're pregnant. That's why you're doing this thing that totally. You would have done were you not pregnant. But there was a part of me that did titter in delight.
Oh, really?
But again, I don't want to be that friend.
I asked for snacks. I went to the bathroom. I came back. Kate had laid out like a buffet of snacks. I mean, I was delighted.
I mean, I have two children.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, if I do become a mom, I'm going to have to be better about like keeping snacks.
I was like,
house.
Trader Joe's
really stressful.
Cheese crackers, Trader Joe's veggie sticks. Oh, well, I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah. So I went back to my doctor this morning before I came over. Because I had to do my second blood test. So I did my first blood test last week and the results were really good.
Yeah.
They were good enough that my doctor was not concerned that I was going away for 5 days in terms of taking another blood test. Like if the results had been low, she would have asked me to take a blood test while I was in New York.
Wow. Because, but they weren't.
No, because your HCG level is supposed to double every, I think it's 48 hours in the beginning. And so she would have wanted to see that it was doubling. But she was like, no, you can just come back when you're back.
And you went today?
I went this morning.
And is everything still?
Well, I haven't gotten
the results yet. Okay.
Yeah.
That's still stressful. It's hard to let yourself be excited, I imagine, when, like Matt said, you're still in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that.
That is a big thing. That's a big thing.
That is a big thing. That's like the biggest thing.
It's really big
right now.
Yeah.
Because it's also like this thing that we've been working towards for so long and have been thwarted so many times. Yeah.
But what a practice just to be as present as possible with it.
Yeah.
And not, I mean, that's so hard.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's where I'm at today.
Well, Dory. Let's take a little break.
Okay. Sounds great.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. So Kate,
yes,
I had a request for today.
You did. Do you want to share with the audience what you wanted
to
talk about?
I do. I wanted to talk about products that didn't work for us.
Specifically products that like other people love.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get swept up in the sensation of like, everybody's talking about it.
Yep.
It's working for everyone.
Yep. And you feel like you need to buy it. And you buy it and you're like, sometimes you're either like, this is fine. I don't see what the fuss is about. Or it's like, I actually dislike this.
I actively hate this. And sometimes it makes you feel like, what's wrong with me?
Totally.
Why isn't this product working for me? Or why am I the only one who's not into this?
Mm-hmm.
To which we say there's nothing wrong with you.
No.
It's just the way it goes.
So, Kate, I'm curious, what has not worked for you that you feel like other people have raved about?
Well, I have three products in front of me. I've brought them to the table.
When you say that, it makes me think of America's Next Top Model.
Really?
Yeah. Three of you stand before me.
Only one can become Kate's favorite product. Okay, I have three things. And I want listeners to know, one, just because something doesn't work for us doesn't mean it's not the best product in the world. No. Or the
But we give a lot of recommendations on this podcast, and I thought for once I'd turn it a little negative.
Whoa. Today we're going neg. I do think it's worth talking about stuff that doesn't work for
us. Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm being facetious.
You are. You're joking.
But I did. No, and I wanted to talk about things that, like, we bought in part because other people had raved about them.
Okay,
and
we
were kind of disappointed.
All right. So product number one. And I want listeners to know, I used all these things in the last 24 hours just to make sure I was committing to telling you that they didn't work for me. The first thing is the Watermelon Glow Sleeping Mask. God, I just mumble. Watermelon Glow Sleeping Mask. I purchased this from Sephora, and this is the first product I have ever actually returned to a Sephora.
Damn.
I mean, is that cold or what? I didn't like it. So everyone had been talking about this, and I was like, I gotta get it. I purchased it during a sale, so I was getting a deal. And it's a sleep mask that is supposed to kind of help with your glow and radiance and also soften the skin. And it has watermelon extract, hyaluronic acid.
Which is amazing.
And AHA, yes.
Everyone loves hyaluronic acid.
Exactly. All stuff you want. And I will also say one of the things that swayed me about this product is that it looks cool, and then the feeling and the smell is all very nice. Mm-hmm. It's like this pink jelly. It smells like watermelon. I feel like there was even like a seed in mine. Like it's very watermelon-y.
Yeah.
I found that the sleep mask, not only did it kind of not do anything, but I felt like it was almost, drying my skin. I guess I was underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And I used a sample. I returned it, but I had a sample. So I used that last night just to confirm my feelings. And once again, I didn't see any results enough for me to keep this pricey jar of mask. But the reason it was kind of disappointing is because it had been pitched to me by so many people as like a life-changing product. Mm. And it was just kind of a letdown, like a womp womp.
So, Kate, I also bought the watermelon sleeping mask.
Mm, go on.
I feel similarly.
Interesting.
I didn't return it because in part out of laziness.
Okay. Well, a fair reason.
But I tried it and I was like, okay.
Like, yeah.
I didn't find it transformative.
Now, apparently there is a dupe.
Go on.
And a listener has sent a message. When I had first talked about this product, a listener sent a message.
Sent up a flare.
Yes. Sent up a flare asking for us to try the dupe. Listener, I will tell you, I haven't tried the dupe just because I didn't want to spend the money. I mean, full, like I can't, if I get my act together, I will reach out to, I believe it's available at Target. I forget who makes it, but there is like a watermelon sleep mask dupe floating around out there. If I get my act together, I will like reach out to the company and try to request a sample so I could try it. And so that is a more affordable dupe if anybody's interested in the product. I just have not done that, and I have not used my own money to purchase it. All right. So that is item number one on my list of didn't work for me. The second item, I don't actually, you know what? I used it this morning and I was like, maybe I don't hate it. I don't hate it. So this is Acure's Brilliantly Brightening Cleansing Gel. Mm-hmm. People love Acure. It's a really great company. It's very natural.
They did have a sketchy labor thing happen though.
I'm not up on this.
Where they were caught, like one of their factories in upstate New York, I think it was like someone they had subcontracted to, was like maybe using like child labor.
Okay, we'll Google this.
Yeah. So, but they aren't using that factory anymore, but it's come up a couple times in the Facebook group.
Oh,
like whenever
I didn't
a cure
see that.
Comes up, someone's like, excuse me.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm glad people are on it.
So, yeah.
Well, so here's the deal. So I purchased this. I think I bought this at you know, Whole Foods or Target or Sprouts, one of my local haunts. And it's a, quote, nutrient-packed cleanser that gets right to work washing away dirt, oil, and makeup. Antioxidant-rich pomegranate, blackberry, and acai team up to support your skin's inherent awesomeness. So a couple things about this cleanser.
I found the thing, if I may.
Yes.
State investigators have found child labor law violations involving 12 minors working at a cosmetics packaging shop run by a New York religious community and are expanding their probe to 8 other sites affiliated with the group. Apparently it was on Inside Edition. This is from June. Yeah, this is from June. And I guess, some Acure products were being made there.
Oh, wow.
They are no longer being made there. Okay. But anyway.
Here's my beef with this product.
I hate
how it smells.
Oh, can I smell it?
Yes, except I just open it and it's like all wet from my shower. I mean, squirt a little bit out. I almost feel like you need to rub it on your face to experience the full smell. It smells like a cleaning solution.
It does.
And for some reason, that really puts me off. I don't know if it's fragrance. I don't know what it is. I can't handle the smell of this product. And I also found it slightly drying. It didn't like knock my socks off like I had hoped it would. And I have a lot of people in my life who like love Acure, swear by all their products and find it like a kind of like reasonably priced line that really is really effective. For me, this was a bust. But predominantly just because of the smell, which I feel like someone might say, Kate, that's like kind of a weak reason not to love a product.
I don't think it's a weak reason at all.
But if you're putting this on your face every day, it smelled like I was putting like Pine Sol cleanser on my face.
Not acceptable.
Yeah. And I just didn't love the way it made my skin feel after. Yeah. So that was kind of a bust. And I didn't return that one. I still use it. It's still in my bathroom. But you know that thing also where you buy a product and you're like, I don't really like this, and you keep using it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I got to break out of that cycle. So here's my final neg, Dory. This is a product that has been raved about on this podcast, and which is why I went out and bought it. Mm-hmm. Maybelline's Superstay 24-Hour Color. It's a lip stain.
I think Priyanka was the first person to tell us about this.
Numerous people are into these lip stains. I'm wearing it. I put it on right now.
It looks nice.
I like the colors I got. That's not the problem. The problem is I hate how it makes my lips feel.
Mm.
And
I guess anything that stays on for 24 hours probably makes it feel great.
Yeah, it doesn't. Perhaps lip stain is not for me. All lip stain, I don't know. Or maybe a listener can recommend a lip stain that is a little bit more comfortable to wear. I find this to be incredibly drying.
Yeah.
And this lip stain comes with like it's a little... moisturizing balm.
Okay.
That I use, but I don't like it that much. It also doesn't feel that great. And then what happened was then I tried to use my favorite lip balm, but that doesn't, this is what helps the color stay on. So you have to use the balm that comes with the stain. If you put your own lip balm on, the color won't stay.
Ew.
This is, I've learned the hard way.
Wow.
So I was putting on my lip balm. And then the color wasn't staying. And I was like, what is happening? And someone said you have to use the balm that comes with the product. But I don't really like it. It doesn't moisturize.
Okay, everyone. Kate does not like the Maybelline 24-Hour Lip Stain.
No, and I feel like a freak because everybody loves it. It's like an old standard. I will say the price point is great. And I love this color that I have on right now. It's just
it does look really nice.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just I'm not a lip stain kind of person. Who am I? I'm questioning everything about myself. So those are some products that did not work for me. I feel guilty about it, but what are you going to do?
Don't feel guilty.
Do I feel shame? I don't know. I feel nothing. You've got a long list.
I do.
Here.
I'm actually not going to talk about all of these.
You've got some on your list that I like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Scandalous.
So the first thing that I'm going to talk about is the COSRX Advanced 96 Snail Mucin.
I also own this,
which is like an essence, I think, technically.
I think so.
People like rave about this snail mucin. I used it pretty consistently for at least 3 weeks, I would say. I didn't like the consistency. I didn't like how it felt on my face. And I also felt like it didn't do anything for me. So that was a big old nope. So another item that I want to mention that people talk about all the time is Yves Saint Laurent Touche Éclat.
Ooh, is this that under eye stuff?
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's under eye. It's supposed to be like brightening.
And it's like a stick, right?
No, it's one of those things that you twist and it comes out with like a little brush.
Right. But then the stuff is on the brush.
Yes.
Yes. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, people talk about this like it is the Holy Grail concealer. I did not find that it concealed.
Ooh.
I felt revealed.
Fighting? Whoa.
Yeah.
Did you work on that? Did you plan that one ahead of time?
No, I didn't. That was spontaneous.
Really, that was really good.
Thank you.
You must be a writer.
Well.
So it didn't...
I just thought it didn't... I felt like it didn't stay on. And I kind of... I also tried to use it because people say you can kind of use it as like a... like almost like a highlighter. Mm. And I was like... nope. And it's not cheap.
No, I was going to say for the price, that stuff better like make your skin sparkle.
Yeah. So I didn't think it did anything for me. Now, maybe if you are not 41 with like deep, dark eye circles.
I mean, I don't think your eye circles are deep and dark.
Well, that's because I use my favorite concealer now, Benefit Boeing Industrial Strength. Not Touche Éclat. Maybe if you're like 24 and you're already kind of dewy.
Fair, fair.
Then it will do something for you. But I felt like for my needs.
Didn't meet them.
Didn't meet them.
Now you have something on this list that is an endorsed product by yours truly, me, Kate Spencer. Mm-hmm. And you don't like it. I mean, do we need to end this podcast?
I assume you're talking about the hairdryer.
I'm talking about the hairdryer, Dory.
Well, Kate, I have mentioned before on this podcast that I didn't think it really did anything
for me. So this is a Revlon hairdryer that looks like a tool that could have been used in like the original Terminator movie. It's like an enormous...
It's a brush.
It's a brush, but it's a brush hairdryer.
Brush hairdryer.
Straightener.
I tried using it. I felt that... because I have pretty fine and thin hair and not a lot of it, that it just made my hair really flat. Mm. And what I need from a hairdryer is not straightening. I don't need it to act like a flat iron. I need it to give me volume.
Right, right.
So I felt like, again, for my needs.
Sure. That's what this is about. We're all different. That's what this is about.
I feel like if I had thick hair, maybe if I had frizzy hair, I feel like I've seen people in the Facebook group post like before and afters of their hair pre-Revlon hair dryer and post. And if they have like thick, frizzy hair, they're like, oh my God, this is a miracle product. This is a miracle item.
I have frizzy, thin hair. Mm. It gets like a weird crinkle wave. And this does work for me. I will say when I cut my hair shorter, it wasn't quite... it didn't work with my style. Mm-hmm. So it might be more like a medium length to a long length product.
Yeah. So those are some, you know, general faves that I feel like were just not my thing.
Which is fair.
Which is fair and fine.
Fair and fine. And things we like are probably not everybody's thing.
Totally. I know not everyone likes my Benefit concealer. If you can believe it.
I don't use it. I use it.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Or whatever it's called. Yeah, but that's, you know, the beauty of this is to each their own.
Indeed. We're going to take another quick break.
Let's do it. Our guest today is Keiko Agena. Keiko, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We're pumped.
We're so glad to have you.
I'm going to read a brief bio all about you. Just put you on the spot.
Okay.
Just bask in it.
Yeah. Great. Here is your life. Keiko Agena is an actress best known for the TV show Gilmore Girls, where she played Lane Kim for 7 seasons and reprised the role in 2016 on Netflix. And as a guest star, she has appeared on such shows as NCIS LA, Shameless, Scandal, House, ER, and 13 Reasons Why. She's also the producer and co-host of the popular comedy variety show Asian AF, which runs at the UCB Theater here in Los Angeles. And there's a sibling show also running in New York City. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. At UCB in New York. And Keiko's new book, No Mistakes, A Perfect Workbook for Imperfect Artists, guides readers through simple exercises based on one of the founding ideas of improv, which is that any misstep is an opportunity for growth and creativity. And the book is beautiful, and it's interspersed with coloring pages and original artwork by Keiko. And each exercise teaches you to confront your emotions, rethink your art, and take mindful breaks to recharge. Keiko, wow. Welcome.
Thank you. I actually had to open my eyes when you addressed me because I was literally basking. I was like, she said to bask. I'm going to fully do it.
Yes. You should bask. That's it's an incredible resume.
Oh,
yeah. And your book is incredible.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. I did one of the exercises the other day. And actually, it was very soothing. I had to draw. It was the one where you suggest people draw their hero.
Oh, yeah.
And I immediately was like, I can't draw. I hate drawing. I'm not good at drawing. And then I was like, well, the book says I have to.
Yeah.
And then I did it. And I've thought about it a lot in the past few days.
Nice.
Yeah, I just keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I
drew my mom.
Aww.
And now I was going to draw like Gilda Radner or Maria Bamford. And I was like, but I also like my mom. And then the picture I drew was like very pleasant. So I just have been thinking about it lately. I don't know.
Isn't that nice? It kind of like, I like when things surprise you, you know, because I also feel like there's the interesting should pressure, I think. Like those are both great answers. Maria Bamford and Gilda Radner are like comedy icons.
They're golden. Like the go-tos.
Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, people will love that. But then there's something so great and special that you drew a picture of your mom. And then also, can I just ask you, because you were like surprised a little that it was pleasant.
What?
Is that a thing?
No, I don't know.
No, that's wrong.
Not surprised it was pleasant, but I immediately, when I was like, drawing, I immediately got into like the negative voice cycles of like, one, I'm not a good artist. Two, I'm going to be critical of whatever I draw. And then it was just like, my mom's dead. So I was like, this is weird. I'm just drawing my mom's face. But then it just ended up being like such a fun exercise.
Oh,
and I
so
liked
nice.
The picture I drew, which let me tell you, I think I am truly, the artwork in your book is beautiful and it's all yours. Which is like, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, Keiko, I am dying to know how this book came to be.
Yeah. How did it? Dory already asked the question.
Yeah.
I just got excited. I'm gonna shut up.
Yeah. Well, originally it was, it sort of happened in stages, this book. So originally I was drawing these little doodles and I would throw them on Facebook. And every once in a while, someone would say, oh, you know, if you made a coloring book, I would love it. I would buy it. I would love to color in these doodles. So I sort of had that in the back of my mind for a good 6 months or so. And I happened to be on a podcast and started talking about some of the things that I were doing and mentioned this possible future coloring book. And someone contacted the podcast because I'd mentioned that.
Oh, wow.
And because of that contact, off of a really, honestly, an offhanded kind of comment about like, you know how people ask you, like, oh, what are you doing these days? It kind of snowballed into something that was more in depth, I think, than originally the plan was.
Yeah. So how did it go from coloring book to workbook?
Well, I think when it was time to pitch it, I sort of had to ask, well, what is the book, if I was only going to ever do one book, what is the book that I would want to have on my shelf? And so that's where it sort of became more than a coloring book. When I really had to pitch it, I guess maybe the requirements to myself of what I wanted to put my energy into kind of changed.
Is drawing a self-care ritual for you? We talk a lot about that with our guests on the show, and I was going to ask what you kind of do as a practice of self-care, but I'm curious if that's one of them.
Yes, and I'll be honest with you. I'll make a confession. I haven't.
Dory's
Uh-oh.
Like,
go on.
Dory is leaning in.
Dory's like, confession. is that I have not been doing that lately, and I can feel it. I think there are a lot of things that I've sort of quote unquote put on hold, like, oh, after this book comes out, after I do this little thing in New York that I have to do to advertise a book, then I'll spend time to do it. And it's been a while, and I can feel it.
Like, what does it feel like when you don't? Like when you say I can feel it, what is that feeling? Is it like a yucky, like, ugh, is your day just not as get into the groove that it normally does?
Yeah, I think that, well, for me, I don't know how it is for everybody, but it's sort of an always battle, you know, because there are all these forces on us, you know, of one way or the other. And it seems like for me, just managing stress is sort of an ongoing thing. Yeah. So every day is different. I don't know that I put, I would love to, I don't know how you could like put enough into the bucket that you would be really great for a long extended period of time. Yeah. I don't think you can, right? It's almost like it's a daily thing that you have to do. And so, I would love to be a little better at, being able to multitask a little bit. I find that I'm really good at like really getting into something and obsessively digging in and working really hard. But in my head, I go, well, I have to finish that thing first.
Yeah,
I go into something else that I can relax. Like I'll have all these rules about when I can relax. Do you guys do that too? Or
I have
to do all this stuff before I can actually relax.
And then it almost
relax.
Becomes stressful to relax.
Yeah, right.
But you do set these like limits on yourself. Like once I get through this week or this promotion or whatever it is, this job, then I'll take it easy.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we figure out how to implement little drops of relaxation during the stressful
time?
I don't know the answer, nor do expect you to have the answer.
What is the answer?
Well, I'm curious, you know, you've been a working actor for a long time, and acting is a not only stressful career, but also filled with rejection and failure. And your book is kind of, is a lot about how to kind of turn that rejection and failure into something that can kind of work for you. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your acting career and kind of what you learned from that and what you drew on to create your book.
Well, it is true. As an actor, I always have this thing that I think of, you know, all my best work no one has ever seen, or like two people have seen, because it's true. I mean, I don't know what your listeners' experience is about the behind the scenes of acting, but so much of my life is a lot of you're auditioning and great roles and varied roles and all these things you're not right for, but there's so much work and a heart and intensity that's put into that process. And there are a lot of roles, you know. And it's kind of a strange thing to think about, because I make my living acting, and it's not that I don't have roles and it's not that I don't work. But even still, even with that, you do the vast majority of things are things that people are never going to see. And so one of the things that I found is, as a survival mechanism, is that I have to look at my life as an artist in a different way. Because if that's the truth, if the vast majority of what I do as an actor, sometimes people never see, you have to look at the whole of your life a little bit and take time to be caring of yourself and understand that what the whole process is of what you're doing, and not just focus on, I don't know, that the yeses, the light switch yeses or noes. Do you know
that's
what I mean?
That's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's applicable to any, to everybody, not just people who work in acting. It's a really beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It was real beautiful.
It was a beautiful perspective. I get real tongue tied.
Is it because it's beautiful for people? Is that what you were doing?
I think that's maybe what I was combining. I think so. But that is, having that, but I mean, it's interesting. Your work is so public, but there's a huge part of it nobody is seeing, including the struggle, like including the failures. We only, as an, as
Yeah, we only see what gets produced. Success.
Yeah.
Right.
And do you feel like you have to kind of let people know that your life isn't just all yeses and so, I mean, because you talk about that in this in your book, that you've had failures yeah. on all sorts of levels.
Yeah.
Is that something that you feel like you have to make people realize that you too also have failures?
Yeah, I'm glad to share it with people if they want to know. Normally, I don't necessarily, unless they ask.
Good thing we're asking.
Yeah, good thing. Yeah, in situations like this. But usually, we also have, you know, your gab sessions with your girlfriends, yeah. really, mm-hmm. is and your support. Girls or guys. I mean, I'm sort of a firm believer in the support system.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Especially because sure. in your book, you kind of guide people through surrounding yourself by like a community who gets you yeah. and listing things that qualities that you want in friends, because oftentimes we're not surrounded by people who support yeah. us.
And this is something that is obviously applicable to people who aren't artists.
Yeah.
yeah.
So yeah, I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. I think it's vital as for an artist. Like you said, I think it's great. It's really vital for everyone, for human beings. We need people, you know. And I'm not even for someone that's public. It's difficult for me sometimes to make those human connections. I sound like an alien, but you know, I'm not naturally at ease in social situations. So I do understand that the anxiety that can come up in trying to put yourself out there. Also, when we're adults. It's sometimes harder to make those non just surface level connections, yeah. you know? And so the things I put in the book were just things that I've done myself. You know, you do have to push yourself a little bit. You know, you have to get through those first very uncomfortable 5 to 10 minutes of small talk, which I hate. But I think if you can find people that you can be open with and share with, and that you can start to trust, and that trust you, those are going to be essential to you. And to not be down on people who love you. I know that sounds weird, but do you know how sometimes, I don't know if other people are like this, but you're like, oh, that person just likes everything. They're supportive of me, but they're just positive about everything. It's almost like we downgrade if people like us.
I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we don't value
them. Like it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
They yeah. have right? to say that. They're our partner.
Exactly.
They're our friends.
Exactly. Yeah. And yes. then we somehow like we take away, like I do, I try not to do that, but I used to do that all the time. Like if someone was paying me a compliment, like I would look for the thing that was the lie in it, or I'd look for why yes. they were forced to do that.
Yeah, you right. know? Right. Like there it certainly couldn't be the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
They pity me.
Oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. All of those. Yeah. All of that.
Well, you have a lot of good exercises in your book that really like forces the reader to get close with those negative voices.
Yeah.
Have you done your own work kind of getting into the kind of negative things we tell ourselves, the way we dwell on our failures, or just kind of the voices in our head that are like, you're garbage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, every morning. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. For sure.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping. And they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Can I read a quote that
Please.
I loved from your book? And it reminded me actually of, we had a listener write in a while ago, and we talked about their email on a mini episode, but they felt like they had missed the opportunity to create the things they wanted to create. And so this just really spoke to me. You said, the only way to avoid failure is to avoid starting, but that's a temporary fix. The pressure builds up in the void of action. Feelings of failure following long periods of inaction are the most difficult to deal with. The pain of wasted time is a monster. The pain of wasted time is a monster. I mean, I wrote that in caps on our notes.
Yeah.
Have you had that experience of sitting on something you wanted to do and then feeling that misery for not doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. Yeah. I feel that all the time. I mean, it's just like, it's almost like a, it's like we try to numb ourselves, or I do. I shouldn't speak for everybody, but I know that it's like you don't want to feel it, so you try to like numb out and not think about it. But and sometimes I think we can get really good at it, or I can get really good at it. But it just builds. It doesn't go away.
Yeah,
you know that nagging just gets louder, and it. Until it really demands to be heard, and then it's even harder. So I'm trying to get in my later life to, when you feel that voice or that nagging to to admit to myself that it's not going to go away, no matter how much I want it to. So let's address whatever that feeling is now.
Can you talk about a specific time?
That's a good question. Maybe without getting into too much detail, there's some things like personal conversations. Mm. Like I know there are some times where I have, I know that it's necessary to have a conversation with someone, but I don't want to, and so. You know, and I'm talking years, you know, I'm not talking like a little temporary, like I wait a week to talk to somebody about something, you know, I mean, it can go for a long time where, But eventually you have to. And so I think, and I know that there have been examples like that in my creative life as well. You know, even probably now, you know, right now we're working on things. I have a producing partner of mine that we do Asian AF together. He does most of it, but his name is Will Choi. I love when he's not around, I take a lot of more credit. but you know, we're writing things and the whole idea of going to the next step of perhaps producing something is terrifying to me. And you know, that's another whole thing of sort of putting things off and not really addressing, some very, you know, immediate things that could be done and could change because I'm not because they're not possible because it's a different way of looking at myself and I'm not ready to look at myself that way yet.
Yeah. That's a big step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof, I can really relate to what you're talking
about.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel?
I think putting off conversations is a really interesting thing that we haven't talked about, but you put them off and then the anxiety builds and then you start to not only get anxious about the actual conversation, but then the fact that you've let years go by or whatever it is. I mean, it just, our brains can turn small things into monsters.
Right.
And that's a real feat. But also I think reimagining yourself in different roles is a big leap for all of us, no matter what it is, reimagining ourselves in different steps in our careers or starting families or not starting families. I mean, changing the visual of the life we expect ourselves to lead is like, I mean, that's the work.
Yeah.
And you are making us do it.
I have a feeling you have a very love-hate relationship with my book. I adore it.
You know what?
In a good way.
It's funny because like I came to the page in your book where it was like, list all your failures and like have fun with it. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing that right now. You know, I mean, because this is what your book asks of people is really to start, Dory loves to say it, changing the narrative about yourself.
I say that all the time.
But that starts with having to like look at some of the ugly, not ugly stuff, but like the yucky things that really make us uncomfortable. And that's half of the challenge.
Yeah.
I want to ask, you have a lot of tools in here. Like I loved your suggestion of your vision board or like writing out why you think you're a fraud. And I mean, are these things that you've implemented in your own life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pretty much everything that's in there is something that I felt a lot of times in the moment of writing that page. So I sort of say that this book wrote itself because I would come across a lot of blocks as I was attempting to write it. I mean, the fraud page that you mentioned comes towards the end of the book as I was closing out this book and thinking, I wrote a book? Who's going to... who's gonna care? And I felt like a fraud, or you know, and I think that's true in acting too. You go, well, can I call myself an actor? Do people, you know what I mean? It's almost like the further along you go in your career, you have this idea that you're an expert, which is bullshit, but it's that then it starts to trip, that in itself can start to trip you up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Maybe I do have a love-hate relationship with your
I just love your face. It's great. I love it.
You've tickled a lot of my triggers. So in a great way.
The practices that you go through in your book, were these, some of them were things that you had already been doing, or how did you kind of develop these exercises?
Oh, well, I came up first with the spine of it. So I knew that I wanted to break it down into 10 different sections, different chapters. And then at that point, I really just would brainstorm. So I had these little cards and I would write out a little thought, or a lot of times sometimes it was a frustration. You know, I'm frustrated in the moment. So I'd write it down on the little card and then, well, what do I need to do to get out of this? Mm. So then I would, you know, answer myself almost in the card. And so I would just throw those into a box. And then when it came time to figure out, placement for it, I would take out all the little cards and say, well, you know, what's the best place for this exercise, this little mini exercise, and try to place it within the book. I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I feel like for me, I have to have a huge skill set for fixing what ails me. So regardless of whether this book existed or not, these are things that I still need to do, you know, in my life.
I wanted to touch on fandom as self-care, because you have an interesting perspective as a person who is a key role in of a fandom,
right?
Which is Gilmore Girls. Huge fandom. It was revived on Netflix. Obviously, the Gilmore Guys podcast, huge hit. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, as a person who was a part of Gilmore Girls for so long, what do you see as the value of a fandom and what it provides people in terms of kind of self-care and community?
Well, I think if I were to think of what is a fandom, it's sort of we're defining what it is that we like and what it is that we value. So I think the fun thing about specifically maybe the Gilmore Girls fandom is this, this sisterhood, mm-hmm. A love of books, a love of this kind of witty dialogue, this kind of idyllic, safe place, this Stars Hollow, you know, and a kindness in a way, and valuing love also, even though it can be difficult love, which I think was definitely a theme in Gilmore Girls. But the great thing about having a community like that is that you can share and feel comfortable about expressing those values with other people because they like this thing also. Yeah. And you know, like I say in the book, it's so important to find those people that get you. And I think when you're a fan of something, that's a way in to be able to really touch the heart of another person. And you could be strangers.
Yeah.
You know, you can start off as strangers, but very quickly can use this as a tool to find a deeper connection, I think, which is what I'm trying all the time, and other people, I think, probably are too.
Keiko,
yes.
This was such a joy.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. Your book is marvelous, and everyone should buy it.
It can be purchased anywhere.
Anywhere.
But it is for sale now. So yes. Definitely yeah. Check it out.
And Keiko, where else can people find you if they want to follow you on social media or et cetera?
Well, on social media, I'm everywhere at my name because it's a little unusual. It's Keiko Agena. And a couple of things I'll plug is the first is a show that I'm on, and it launches on Hulu on September 14th. So watch that. It's going to be all the first season is going to be on Hulu at one time. And then,
wait, what's the show called?
Oh, it's called The First.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. You're like the first what? Like, what? Because it's a little bit into the future. It's about, the first man mission to Mars.
Ooh.
So just a tiny bit sci-fi, about 13 years into the future.
What's your role?
I play an astronaut, believe it.
Cool. Or
not. Yeah. Wow. So I love them, and I would really love for us to have a glorious season two. So, so people need to watch it.
Yeah.
For that to happen. And then, Dirty John is something I'm working on right now. And, I just started, a little bit of a role on Better Call Saul. So that's
very
just
cool.
Started to air. So that's that. So there's, that was,
that's amazing.
Yeah. That's amazing. Dirty Thank John, you. The TV show based on the podcast.
Yes. With Connie Britton.
Come on. Yes.
So I love, and I don't have any scenes with her, I'm sure, but Jean Smart is also in it.
Wow.
And she's like, oh my God, I was at the table read and I was like, she had in the first episode, she has like three lines. You guys, she just like pulled in the room in three lines. I mean, it's just Ugh. Like, I love Jean Smart. She just like, she's just like soul. She's just so soul. I don't know. She's so cool.
The feeling of getting to work with your or just yeah. these oh, for huge sure. idols is. That's huge.
I love it.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You know what? Actually, your intention last week kind of seems like it could have come out of Keiko's book.
Yeah, feeling proud.
Feeling proud.
I did do it a bunch of days, but I also, there were times where I was like, fruit. Sorry, I say fruit instead of fuck when I'm around my kids. So I've gotten used to just saying fruit now.
You can say that on this podcast.
I just realized I was like, oh, fruit. Oh my gosh. You know, being a mom is a thing. I found myself having a hard time coming up with stuff I felt proud of, which was a real thing, interesting thing to observe. Like, there is a thing every day I can be proud of. I say that, like, that one can be proud of, right? Like, reframing our days and our existences and stuff that we're proud of is really challenging.
Really hard.
Yeah. So it's been good. I'm still working on it. My friend is still leading the practice in our gratitude group, and I'm still trying to participate when I can.
That's great.
Yeah. I really enjoy having to, like, go through my day. Because I feel like I have the gratitude thing down, right? I can be like, oh yeah, I know what I was grateful for, like this, this, and this. But what I was proud of, that's a little bit harder.
Yeah.
How about you, Dory? You are going to keep it moving no matter what the results of your pregnancy test were.
Yeah. Well, as revealed earlier in the episode, I found out last week that I'm pregnant. And actually, in the course of recording this podcast, my doctor called. I threw down the microphone. I was like, I have to take this. Like, ran out of the room.
And of course, I was like, is it our postmates? Because like, I'm an idiot.
No. And I'm still pregnant.
Do you have any self-care practices that you're practicing while you're going through this?
I mean, it's really what I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, which is really just like living in the moment of like, today I'm still pregnant.
I'm sorry to go off on a tangent. I just like watching you get up and react to your doctor's call. Like, that is stressful to know that at any moment your doctor's going to call with more news or there's always stuff going on.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot. That's a lot to deal with.
It is a lot. But yeah, I'm just trying to kind of like really take it day by day.
And you're Broadway dancing.
I was away. So I went right before we went to Wing Camp. And then I just got back last night. So I haven't been, but I am planning on going tomorrow night.
Good.
And I've put it in my calendar. I've now blocked off Tuesday mornings to go to the Tuesday morning class because that, as I talked about last week, that is the class that I really like because it's a little smaller. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to, you know, use my gym membership and just try to kind of, you know, do my thing. And maybe I'll eventually go to like a prenatal yoga class.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
If you want, no pressure. What's your intention this week?
Let's talk about yours first.
Oh, okay. Mine's purging.
By purging, you mean?
I mean, I'm participating in the purge, like in the movie. Get ready. My children started school last week, and I am now using this time to begin to eliminate items in our home that we are no longer using. Mm. So we have a little tiny room in our house that is called our playroom. Mm-hmm. And I've spent yesterday in there for a good chunk of the day just getting rid of stuff and trying to downsize, trying to figure out what we can donate, trying to figure out what I can sell. Kids, like I'm already thinking about, my kids are very lucky. They get presents from family for birthdays and stuff. You know, like they are in the business of acquiring new things. They're always bringing home books from the little free libraries we explore in our neighborhood. You know, there's always like a new collection of leaves that ends up in my house. So trying to clean out some clutter because I know new clutter is always coming in.
Yeah.
And
I like that.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of trying to do a purge. And this time last year, I cleaned out my own closet and that was really freeing. So I'm going to try to just, I'm just making my way like room through room in our home and just trying to kind of, I don't know, something about the fall is very cleansing for me.
Yeah. Well, it's the Jewish New Year.
Oh, well that maybe like, that's what it is.
I always see the fall as like the time of rebirth.
As opposed to the spring.
As opposed to the regular New Year.
Yeah. Okay. Fair.
Like I think, I don't know, maybe I'll make resolutions.
Well, let's share them on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Fun.
Great. So my intention this week is I need to figure out what the F is going on with my sleep. I don't know if this is a pregnancy thing, but I've been waking up at 4 a.m.
One thing in the week that I have known that you are currently pregnant, I have wanted to resist saying everything is, it's because you're pregnant, because I find that very fucking annoying. That being said, it definitely, when I first heard you talking about how you're waking up, that's what I wanted to say. And I didn't
right,
say it.
Because when it first started happening, it was before I'd even taken the first pregnancy
yes,
test.
And I actually thought it in my brain and I was like, no, shut up. But it could very well be that. It could be, it has started before you were traveling. But I think because there's so much going on in your body hormonally, it could totally disrupt your sleep in that way. And it can also make you more tired. It's like, who the fuck knows?
You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to start, I need to figure out how to start listening to one of our advertisers, Simple Habits.
Yes.
Sleep meditations when I wake up in the middle of the night, which is going to be tough because I don't sleep with my phone. So,
oh God, what are you going to do? That's going to have to change a lot of your philosophy because you are not.
I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to have to really think about this.
Well, one thing you could do is do that meditation and then practice, you know, try it a couple times and then implement the practice of yoga nidra or sleep meditation.
Yeah. I wonder, I'm going to, you know what else I'm going to maybe try is maybe try putting my phone in my nightstand drawer.
Okay.
I'm going to see how that works.
All right. I mean, also, are you getting up and reading when this is happening?
Yeah.
And is that helping? Or are you just now up starting at 4 a.m.?
I've kind of been up. And then this morning I was up. And then at like 6:05, I got so tired again that I curled up on the couch with Bo. I like spooned Bo for like an hour. And then finally he was like, okay, I'm not your pillow. And he got up and like went to his bed. And I was like, oh, okay.
Get off the lady.
Yeah.
That's really hard. Waking up, it can be weird when your sleep is a little off
like
that.
Because I don't have trouble falling asleep. I've never had insomnia. It's more now I'm just waking up at 4.
Yeah.
And I don't want my day to start at 4.
No.
That's a little early for me.
That's very early. I mean, unless you can start, you know, there's stuff you want to be using that time for. If it's just like your body is up.
I think I just need more sleep than getting up at 4. I would have to go to bed at 8.
Can you do that? Or do you have stuff activities happening?
I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, you got to dance at night.
I have Broadway dance class. So therefore, I cannot go to bed at 8.
Well, I hope you figure it out.
Thank you. And listeners, if you want to call and help me figure this out, you can do so at 781-591-0390. You can also just leave us general voicemails.
Questions,
comments. We will play them. We might play them on a mini episode. And you can also email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
You can find our Forever 35 Facebook group on Facebook. It's Forever 35 Podcast. The password is serums, and there are a bajillion spinoff groups that are eager for you to join them.
Yeah. Also, if you like the show, please leave us a rating and or review on Apple Podcasts. We love reviews, but really all you have to do is just click the little star thing. I mean, hopefully you want to leave us 5 stars. And if you really like us and you want to talk about it on social media, you know, that we won't be mad about that either.
And of course, all products mentioned are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you could follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and you, Kate Spencer.
That's me.
And produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Talk to you all next week.